Yo, what up, though? It's your boy T-Lip bringing you another episode of the Speak On It podcast. And we're going to start this off with an inspirational, motivational quote. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it is the only thing that ever has. Margaret Mead. One more for the road. To serve is beautiful, but only if it is done with joy and a whole heart. I definitely believe that for sure. Serving people, it uplifts your spirit. It uplifts you. It moves you inside spiritually. It makes you happier. It makes you more aware. It makes you more thoughtful. It just overall makes you a happier person. It makes you go about your day and about your moment a little bit better than it was previous to you making that great gesture of you serving somebody when you didn't have to, or doing a favor that you didn't expect you was going to be doing. Is anything. All the little things count. The little things definitely count. We're going to start off with talking about with a lot of basketball today. This is a basketball episode. Of course, you're going to hear about the Lake Show. You're going to hear about the Clippers. You're going to hear about Giannis. You're going to even hear about the Raptors, Boston. You're going to hear about all these teams. And it's a lot of great basketball going on right now. A lot of great games yesterday. Paul George got a chance to go back home where he created his foundation, where he created a legacy in Indiana, playing there for a few years for the beginning part of his career, where he had some intense battles in the playoffs. They didn't make it that far in the playoffs. They didn't go to the championship or anything like that, but they made it tough for the LeBron James Miami Heat team. I mean, with the David West and Hibbert and Paul George and George Hill, they was making things happen over there. But obviously, he's on a different team now. He's playing with the Clippers right now. The Kawhi's Clippers. Kawhi didn't play last night against the Pacers, so it was the Paul George show. Paul George came out there and gave you 36 points, 36 minutes, 9 rebounds, and 5 assists. That's a day right there. He's plus 20. He made it happen, so he carried the load yesterday. The second leading scorer was off the bench was Harrell. Harrell with 26 and 8. He's been playing really, really good as of late. His energy, his hustle, his aggressiveness, his passion for the game is shown on a day in and day out basis. You can tell Montrez is out there making it happen. He's out there playing hard every play. He's dominating the inside of the game. He's actually improving his game as well. He can catch the ball at the elbow, give you a mid-range shot, sometimes give you a step back, be able to put the ball on the ground, cross you over, and go to the rim aggressively. So he's a spark. Him and Lou Williams is definitely a big spark off the bench for that team, most definitely. So they're playing pretty well. They end up winning 110-99. To a Victor Oladipo-less Pacers. But the Pacers are actually playing pretty decent. They're 9-3 at home, 15-9 overall record. TJ Warren has been scoring the ball as of late pretty well. He only had 12 points yesterday and 8 rebounds, but a few games before that he's had over 25. I've seen him expand his game tremendously. Coming from Phoenix and things like that. And they also have Miles Turner. Miles Turner making it happen. He only had 5 points yesterday, though. So his presence wasn't felt out there as much as it needed. And his game has developed as well to a greater level. He's stepping out, knocking down the 3 consistently and making things happen in that nature. But they have a couple acquisitions that they added to the team this summer, in which is Malcolm Brogdon, Jeremy Lamb, McDermott. Them are solid pieces right there that come in and play solid minutes and that can put the ball on the ground and put the ball in the hoop. Brogdon is a point guard that was a 50-40-90 guy before he got hurt, and he's a point guard that can play the 1 or the 2, and he's a great perimeter defender. He got long arms. He's like one of the old school complete basketball players that we see. Like, he can shoot the 3, he can shoot the mid-range, he can put the ball on the ground, he can play defense. Like, he's not afraid to do it all. Like, his game checks a lot of boxes. I'm not saying he's great at all of these things, but his game expands and he checks a lot of boxes within his repertoire and the tools that he have in his bag. So the Clippers definitely came out there and knew it was going to be on Paul George's shoulders because Kawhi wasn't playing due to knee maintenance, low management. I got a headache, my elbow hurt, whatever it is, he wasn't playing. And he usually skipped games from time to time to go out there to give him rest. I guess they're preparing him for the playoffs because obviously they're about to make a long run and go to the finals, I guess, but whatever. So, yeah, the Clippers came to the Pacers arena and sealed the deal, played a great game, played a solid game. Paul George had 36, 9-5, where he went out there and dominated the game and showed them that's exactly why this is his court. Moving on from that, the Celtics beat the Cavaliers 110-88. Gordon Hayward came back. He made some plays, ended up having a nice few buckets for sure, for sure. Definitely had 14 points, 4 assists, and 5 rebounds, which is pretty good to come off an injury within his hand that he actually came back early from. I guess he was expected to sit out 1 to 2 more weeks, but he actually beat that time, and due to him, his work ethic and him working hard and putting in the time and putting in the effort and just wanting to get better and wanting to get out there on that court for his teammates and for himself. Kemba Walker, 22 points. Jaylen Brown, 20. Jason Tatum, 19. Like, they all of them are getting better and better and better together. They're learning how to play more and more together. They're more aggressive. Tatum is getting up more shots. His detail to how he wanted to create a shot is easily. He's making it happen. He's in the post. He's at the elbow. He's sidestepping at the three-point line. He's the key to that team. I like Kemba Walker. I definitely like Kemba Walker's game. I love everything about it. I feel like he's a great piece for this team. He's going to go out there, score points. He's going to be clutch at the end. He's not going to be a problem off the court, anything like that. But Tatum is taking his game to another level where Tatum has to be the number one on his team. Kemba cannot be for this team to win, to me, Kemba cannot be the number one at the end of this year. If he's the number one at the end of this year, they're not going to be that good. Or they're not going to compete for a championship. If Tatum is competing with him for the number one player on that team, because he's scoring points and he's getting other players involved and he's making the splash plays and he's 4 for 6 from the three-point line and shooting the ball well, he's the key piece. He's the key piece to the growth of that team, and I feel like he's the one that can take that team over the hump. Definitely, for sure. The Cavaliers got a lot of things going on. They about to make some trades. They blowing up the team. They think the coach treat them like they treat them like they still in college. Probably got curfews and all of that. But whatever. It's always an adjustment going from the college to the pros for a coach and a player. So he's just having an adjustment, which is going to happen. Moving on from that, your Rockets lost to the Kings 119-118. The Rockets are 9-3 at home, 15-8 overall. The Kings are 10-13, 5-9 away. So this is definitely a win that the Rockets should have took, but they didn't. They didn't seal the deal. They didn't finish the game. The Kings end up hitting a buzzer beater at the end. Somebody let one of the guys from the Kings leak out and knock down a three in the corner and make it happen and just turn it up. He made a play. He made a big play, shot the ball very accurately, and made plays. However, Westbrook had a game. Westbrook was 34 points, 13 for 17, 2 for 4 from the three-point line, 8 assists. His plus-minus, he was definitely a plus. Harden, 27 points, 8 for 19. He only shot 19 shots. That is a shocker. I've seen Harden shoot 40 shots in games and 23s in games. But whatever. That's besides the point. The Rockets are gelling. Not as good as we thought they would gel, for sure. I feel like they're just going through the season and kind of figuring it all out right now. They're definitely figuring it all out. They're figuring out how to play together. They're figuring out, when do I take over the game? Okay, when should Westbrook take over the game? Okay, now other players are finding, what lane should I be at? What spots do these players like the ball at? They're just figuring out the ins and outs of the game and the chemistry of their team, because they're championship contender. With two superstars on a team like this, they're definitely a championship contender right now. And I say superstars, giving them that. I don't think Westbrook is on the same level of superstardom that he was previous, but I'm going to be respectful and still give him. He's still a superstar for sure. But they lost this game to the Kings, to a Kings that don't have – they don't have – Fox? They don't have Fox or Bagley. Darian Fox or Bagley not even playing, and they end up losing to that team. So that's a little eyebrow. I mean, it's a Monday. Who knows if they wanted to play there? I don't know. Whatever it was, they didn't come out to play. The Kings showed up and made it happen and got the W. So the Rockets, that's still a bad loss in anybody's book. You can't lose to the Kings if you want to compete for championships. That's just the name of the game. So the Rockets end up losing. They'll get it together and figure it all out, which is good. So not too worried about them right now. I don't think they're going to win a championship or anything like that, but I feel like they're going to be a solid team, and they're going to compete with some of the better teams in the NBA for sure, for sure. Let's move on to the man, the myth, the legend. I just said all that, but it's cool. Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose with the buzzer beater on a defender that – some people say he's one of the best defenders in the game, Jrue Holiday, which he is. He's one of the best perimeter defenders and defenders, period, in the game. Derrick Rose took him down the line, spent off him at the free throw line, and made a step back jumper. Derrick Rose is making it happen. Derrick Rose's confidence is booming right now. Like, he's playing really, really well. He's making plays. He's making it happen. You can tell that his confidence and his love and his passion for the game is growing and growing and growing. I think it's growing even more than when he played with the Bulls. Honestly, I feel like his appreciation and his passion for the game has definitely grown, because it has took him through trials and tribulations that nobody actually know what he went through but him. So the fact that he's back playing at this level for my hometown, Detroit City, was good, 313. Love my city. He's making plays. He's a splash player. We definitely need a player like that to come in and make plays. We're one of them brick city type cities. Like, we a hard, rough city, and he's one of them guys that's tested. He's battle tested. He's made it happen. He's overcome so much. He's been playing really, really well for this team. They Blake Griffin has been playing well as well, but he didn't play that good yesterday. He was 5 points, 1 for 9, 34 minutes. So he had an off day for sure, for sure. They end up playing the Pelicans. And the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram is showing out right now. Brandon Ingram has took his game to another level for sure. I feel like that was a great move for Brandon Ingram, getting him traded up out of L.A., and just allowing him the freedom to grow his game, grow up. You know, being in the Lakers, be playing with LeBron and all of that, it can be too much or whatever. I'm not going to say it can be too much for certain people. So I feel like this was a great transition for him to go to New Orleans and play over there and expand his game and get more players involved and get more committed to the game and play more defense. He's been playing, definitely. They don't have Zion right now. Zion's been out for this whole season. They're saying he's going to come back sometime in 2020. So we'll see. He's not winning Rookie of the Year for sure. But, yeah, the Pelicans definitely added some pieces. And they making it happen to the point where their future looking good when Zion get back. When Zion get back and Jrue Holiday and Lonzo Ball and Josh Hart And even the rookie they drafted, the two rookies they drafted, Alexander Walker and Hayes, they're playing pretty good. Hayes is an aggressive, length, athletic guy that will block the shot, and he will run down there and catch an alley-oop on you as well. And he has the energy and the charisma to do both. So that's good. They're a young team that's growing, and they're going to continue to grow. Moving on from that, the Raptors beat the Bulls 19. They beat them 93-92. It was a close game for the most part. The whole game was pretty close. Zach LaVine been playing pretty good. Zach LaVine, his game has expanded tremendously as well. Like, he can shoot the three, can take you off the dribble. He's real explosive, like easily explosive. He's one of the most explosive guys in NBA. And you need that on a team. They're a young, gunning-type team with Markkanen, Carter, LaVine, Young, Kobe White, Valentine, my boy Valentine, Michigan State. Yes, sir. They all young and athletic and rangy, and they just need one piece, one or two pieces to come and solidify that team. Because if they get one big name to come to Chicago, they're going to help that whole team. They're going to help the guys that's on that team. They're going to help develop them. They're going to help Chicago. Chicago Bulls, they definitely a organization that definitely has to spark up to the point where they're in the playoffs. They're battling again. They're a commodity again, a hot commodity again. Like, nobody's been talking about the Bulls ever since Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah and Luol Deng and that whole Taj Gibson. All of them, they need to get back to that because Chicago's a great city. They have great legacy, and they have great fans, and they have great atmosphere and everything. So they deserve a big-time player to come there and to set the market, and open up the market for other players to come there and compete at a high level. Siakam, is there a way you can get most improved player twice? Because he deserves it. He's been playing amazing. 22.6 rebounds. They got the win on the road. It's not easily going. It's no game in the NBA is easy. You have athletes on that. You have some of the most talented athletes on the court. Some of the most battle-tested athletes on the court. Some of the most willful athletes on the court that's all trying to compete and win at a high level and take care of their families and take care of themselves. So it's not easy at all. Every W, every L, you either won it or you lost it in the NBA, in any sports. Everything is tough. So day in and day out, anybody can beat anybody. So you have to bring it. You never know on a Monday or a Tuesday or a whatever day. Any team can get beat on any day. For sure, for sure. But if there's a way Siakam can win most improved player twice, he definitely deserves it. And he's going to be a all-star starter as well. However, the reigning MVP has his team on a 21-3 record, 11-1 home record, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on a 15-game winning streak. They just beat the Magic 110-101. Antetokounmpo, career day as well, as usual. 32 points, 8 assists, 15 rebounds. He make the whole team better. He make all the players better. Middleton, he makes Middleton better. He makes Eric Bledsoe better because there's more space. He makes another good acquisition that they added was Wesley Matthews. Wesley Matthews is a 3-and-D type guy. And he's going to shoot the ball, and he can create as well. DiVincenzo, the rookie they have from – where did he come from? Came from – I forgot what school he came from. But he's striking the ball. He can shoot the three, 2-for-3 from the three. Came in for 20 minutes off the bench, 12 points. He's been making plays. His name's been on the scouting report for sure, because he can put it on the ground. He can shoot the three. He can create off the dribble and things like that. So all of these guys are just gaining confidence through this winning streak. I've been on the winning streak before, and I can tell you that when you win, you start to believe and believe and believe and believe even more. I'm not saying you didn't believe in the first place, but the more you win, the more you believe, and the more you compete, and the more you want to win, and the more ways you're finding to win. So they have shooters. They have spacing. Giannis can actually shoot the three now. He's not scared to shoot. He's shooting. He shot 2-for-5 yesterday, but the threat of him shooting it, because he can make it. He's making a three, two threes from night to night. Like, he's not afraid to shoot the ball at all. So you have to step up a little bit more. And if you step up, he's just going to blow right past you. And it only take him one, maybe two steps to get from the three-point line to a dunk. So you got to be careful with how you play Antetokounmpo, because his game goes miles. He's not just this type of player. He's not an interior type player. He's not just a mid-range. Like, his game is developing to another level, for sure, for sure. Last but not least, Lakeshore ain't play yesterday, but they still dominant as ever. Lakers are dominant. Let's just talk about LeBron James. LeBron James, he's leading his team. He's definitely leading his team to the championship, but let's take it back just a little bit. Let's take it back to the summer. It was a lot of buzz that people were saying, oh, nobody wants to play with LeBron. Everybody's leaving him. Nobody thinks, like, it's just too much playing with him on the team. Nobody understands him. His environment is toxic. He make the environment toxic, and he wants to take all the credit. And, man, is anybody saying all this stuff now? And they also were saying he didn't want to play basketball no more. He just wanted to move to L.A. and do movies, and he didn't really care about basketball no more. Okay. Are these still questions right now? Like, do we still think he don't want to play basketball, or people don't want to play with him, or it's toxic, or I'm not saying like the season over or anything like that, but the same intensity you have behind bashing a person and throwing sticks and stone at them, and when you're wrong, you got to have that same intensity towards apologizing, just knowing that you're wrong. That's part of growing up and understanding that, you know, whatever. LeBron James has, last year, before he got hurt, they said, third seed? Before he got hurt on Christmas, they're the third seed. And he missed 20 games midseason with a young team that was literally just a team, the same young cats from the year before without LeBron. So it's the same team with LeBron and the same team without LeBron. You got a bunch of young cats trying to figure it out. Nothing wrong with figuring it out. Lonzo Ball, Ingram. They had a bunch of young cats that sometimes, I mean, these cats are like 19, 20, 21. Like, your mind probably not always on win, 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 or you not always in win mode. Because you know, you finding out how to win, or you still learning, figuring things out about yourself and understanding things about yourself. And then you coming into the NBA with the Lakers and you trying to find your way around the NBA and figure the NBA out, figure what's right and what's wrong. And the media there, I mean, it can be hectic. It can be hectic, whatever. And yeah, they learned that it's tough. It's tough to play in an environment like that. It's tough to try to figure your way around things that you don't really know when everything is kind of hitting you really, really fast. Like, you don't have no time to breathe, and they saying this and this network saying that. And as a youngin', you always on your phone. This telephone world we live in. Everybody's always on their phone. So you're looking at your phone, you seeing the headlines, you looking at Instagram, you seeing Twitter, you looking at all that. Now, I don't know what it does. I don't know what it do for you, if it motivates you or if it hurts you. And sometimes, you know, it can get to certain people. Certain stuff can get to certain people. So they were saying all this, that as they was going through all that stuff with the team, with the Laker team last year, and then LeBron leak go out, and then it go, then the elevation of talk escalates even more when LeBron leaves, because now it's even more emphasis on your game, because now you got to carry the load when Brian not here, and you couldn't carry the load like that before he was there. So now that's another added pressure to that. So people kept saying, oh, Brian can't do this in the West. He can't do this. Oh, you see what he happened last year when he went to the West. He ain't even go to the playoffs. He missed 20-some games. His team was really young. And going to the playoffs last year was an incentive. And then when you try to trade, the whole AD trade thing kind of messed up the morale of the team as well. And that matters. That matters with young, with 20, 21, 22-year-olds. It matters. It matters with 28, 29, 30-year-olds, but it definitely matters with younger players and that's not used to the game and, you know, not used to the business of the game and how your life can just – it's just kind of on TV. People are depicting you. People are analyzing you. People are breaking you down all on TV, and you just sit there, to watch. So Brian regrouped. Went back and got AD, traded a few guys, got spent by some of the cats down the street that signed with the other team. But don't worry about that. We still gonna take care of them at the end of the day. He went and got Anthony Davis, went and got a lot of other pieces, and now look at him right now. Look at him right now. They the number one seed in the NBA. Making it happen. Avery Bradley's making it happen. Rondo looking like a general out there. Danny Green, sharpshooter 3-and-D. JaVale McGee, aggressor at the rim, boxing out, rebounding, catching oops. Dwight Howard playing some of his best basketball right now. And his minutes need to be elevated a little bit more. Kuzma, he's just getting in the rhythm. He's coming back from injury, and he's figuring his way out on how he need to score, when he need to score, and what way he need to score, and how aggressive he need to be in the midst of coming back and finding his way into the circle and finding his role and then expanding on that role. I'm not even going to say anything about any offseason any acquisition still that can happen for this team, because the team already loaded right now. We have Caruso playing at a high level right now. He's playing really, really well. Dunking all on people. He can play the one. He can play the two. He's grabbing rebounds. He's playing really, really well defense. He's locking up on the perimeter. Like, we just have a lot of weapons right now. We're just going to continue to get better. We're going to continue to grind through all this, through the season, because the season matters. The season set the tone for the playoffs. If your tone not set before you get to the playoffs, then you're going to be trying to set the tone in the playoffs, while other teams have probably already set the tone during the season. So that's why the season matters. All of the ups and downs, all of the bruises, all of the dinners, all of that stuff matters. All of that stuff matters. And the Lakers are at the top of that right now, and they're going to continue to be at the top of that because they got the head general to go up there making things happen. He's putting it all in motion. Like, it's already manifesting. The Lakers are going to win the championship this year, and there's nothing a lot of people can do about it. And if they win it this year, they're going to win it next year as well. I don't care who come back. I don't care about KD come back to the Knicks. I don't care. The Warriors might draft. I don't care about none of that. The Lakers are, if they win this year, which they are going to win this year, all they're going to do is restock and reload. And then it's really going to be over for the league, for sure. So LeBron James, the GOAT, it's the Lake Show for sure. Lake Show of all the NBA. Y'all got a problem with it. Y'all can join the podcast whenever y'all want to, for sure. I'm open. It's open. Lake Show all day, though. So I thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Speak On It podcast with your boy T-Lip. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Yeah!